word today. It's a privilege to be in God's house, and it's a privilege to be amongst the saints of God. And I know there's a remnant in this church that loves the Lord Jesus so much. And so I know I'll have no trouble keeping your attention on a passage God put on my heart over 14 years ago and it's had time to ruminate. I want to thank my family for being here too. You encourage me more than you know. I love you. And so I have a simple message, but a profound message today. And it centers around a word, one word message, and it's the word let. And I've got to take you back in time a little bit, back at a church rummage sale we had in the back. Pastor Thompson, I think, was emptying his library, and he had books out, and one of them was a small commentary by A.B. Simpson. A lot of people don't know who this guy is. He kind of was a mentor to A.W. Tozer. He founded the Christian Missionary Alliance Church. I won't talk too much about A.B., but he had a way of writing things that got a hold of a guy who was brand new in the faith. And one of his little commentaries on the book of Philippians is where we're going to be this morning. And I'm going to pray because we need God's spiritual mind to get our arms around some spiritual concepts today that will take us a long way in Jesus. But a simple word jumped off the page. I'll never forget it back there. And it's the word let. And I'm going to ask that we'll go to the book of Philippians in a moment. But first I wanted to take us, you don't have to join me here, but in 1 Corinthians, there's a prayer really. Oh, these songs have been like prayers, haven't they? We're hungry. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. And that's where I believe God's going to bless us. Today, I want to begin, though, with a prayer from 1 Corinthians in the second chapter because it ties in with this message. And it's about how the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. This is verse 11. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught to us by human wisdom, but words taught by the Spirit. That's what we're going to pray for right now in a moment, that the Spirit will illuminate the text, because the carnal mind, the mind of this world, our best day thinking, is not going to illuminate the things of the Spirit. We need the spiritual man to discern those things. And it ends in verse 16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct us? But we have the mind of Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, so thankful to be in your house. And as I'm in the book of Philippians, I think of our little church here as the church of Philippi in so many ways. They give to one another's needs. Yeah, we have our problems sometimes. We're perfectly imperfect at times. And that makes us all just fit in perfectly, I think. And yet, Lord, the apostle, even though he was in chains, in a house arrest, was able to have joy in his heart. And he said, fulfill my joy, that you all be like-minded. And today we're going to speak on what that means for us to have the same mind, to be like-minded, that it might fulfill your joy, because I know that it's what you want, is for us to have that unity in the body, that unity that we can have in the mind of Christ. We ask that you just open up our spirits today to your word. This isn't my ministry, it's your ministry that began on the cross, Lord. And I pray that you'd use your humble servant today. Lord, this is a message that's been on my heart for some time, and I just pray that you'd help me to express it in a way that'll bring you honor and glory, and it might touch someone today at their point of deepest need, that we'd leave this place different than we came in today, even for eternity's sake. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Small word, the word let, and yet A.B. Simpson said in his little commentary that it's a powerful word. He said the word let, and don't pay attention to my slides yet because I kind of get off track, I'm so sorry, but this word let, A.B. Simpson said, expresses the whole idea of the divine life. And I thought to myself, what does he mean, let? I pass by that word a lot. In my carnal mind, I thought about the Beatles song, Let It Be. And I thought, well, maybe they meant that same idea. I don't believe it's quite the same. But in the Bible, the word let, going all the way back into the book of Genesis, and of course, it's different when it's in the Hebrew versus the Greek, but God said, let there be life, let there be light, let us make man in our image. It's a pretty powerful, packed little word. But when we get into the New Testament, it becomes an even more personal connotation. And the Apostle Paul, whose epistle is that I'm going to go into, Philippians, he uses it as almost, if I can call it this, a divine permission for us to enter into the work that God's already begun in us. In fact, that word "let's" about 1,700 times in the New Testament. I don't believe God ever wastes a word. Would you agree with me? That everything that's been preserved by the Holy Spirit is there for a reason, to build us up, to edify us, that we might grow. Genesis, as I mentioned, it's about 14 times that God says the word "let." And in this little epistle in Philippians, we're going to see how it's a power-packed word. Now, before I start getting a little bit too deep, I've already lost some of you, I hope not. I had a little joke. You know, I've always been told you can break the ice a little bit, and I thought it tied into the message. But there's a little joke, and it's a clean joke, trust me, of a man who was hiking up in the mountains. Some of you have heard this joke before. He's on a narrow path, and he loses his footing, and he falls off the edge of the mountain. And as he's falling, he just happens to put his arm out and he grabs a hold of a branch. And he's hanging for dear life from this branch. And he realizes, I don't have the strength to pull myself up and there's really no place else to go. I got to holler for help. And so he begins to help. He says, "Help, is there anybody up there?" And immediately he hears an answer. "Yes, I am here." And he said, "Well, who is it?" And the voice said, "It's the Lord." And he said, "Well, Lord, can you help me?" And the Lord said, "Yes, I can, but do you trust me?" He said, "I trust you completely, Lord. Yes, can you help me?" And so the Lord replies, "Let go." And it's silent for a few moments. And then he says, "Is there anyone else up there?" I had to get you to laugh for a minute so we can break the ice. I got news for you, friends. There is nobody else up there. There's nobody else up there. And Paul the Apostle, with that word "let," goes into in the New Testament to begin to spin some things that we can lay a hold of if we would only allow God, trust God, like the man dangling from the branch where it seems he's got nowhere else he can go. Well, that's so often where God meets us, is it not? This word in the Greek, and I won't give you a full lesson, you go to Joe for this, he helped me over the phone last night, but there's a word called phronio. Phronio in the Greek is used quite often in this phrase that Paul uses, which means to let the mind of God be in you, to let this mind. It also means to exercise the way of thinking, the affections that God might have, to be of the same mind and same regard. And so my key text is at the bottom of every slide here, "Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus." So what does that mean? You know, so often we come to church service and we're Americans and we like to get a quick, you know, "Tell me what I need to do, Bill," and okay, I'm good, and I'll just... Well, what Paul does in Philippians, he gets into the why behind that we should have this mind of Christ. And he really gets us challenging ourselves to ask the question, do I want that mind that's also in Christ? It literally means to be ye minded as the Lord does. In the next slide, I think I've got a little bit of a definition there. It includes, in the Greek, the mind and the heart. You're asking, you're pleading with God to develop this mindset in our fellowship, which was only consistent with the mindset for those who are in Christ Jesus. In other words, how did Jesus think about the early church helping one another? That's what I want. And you know, it's easy for us to say, well, I'm just going to focus on God and I'm going to keep looking to Him. But there are some practical things that I want to share with you today that I believe will help you to walk this Christian life out more successfully. And also, you know, because eternity is a long time for us to explore the grace and grandeur of Jesus and who He is. But who else would want a life this side of heaven that's like an adventure, that you wake up every day excited about? You know, are there anybody in the house that want that? You know, even as Christians, we take a lot of flack. You see it on the news. It seems like we fail in so many areas, and we do. I'll never forget it. Brown City was an old-timer said to me, "I'm having the time of my life." And I said, "I don't know, brother. You look like you're kind of sitting there stuck in the mud. I don't know. I'm a new believer." He didn't seem like he's excited, but I could see it in his eyes. He said, "I have the best time of my life when I hitched my wagon to Jesus so long ago." And he says, "No matter what happens to me, every day is an adventure." And so we can participate in this adventure that is in Christ Jesus. Good old A.B. Simpson, they said all of his sermons came back to two scriptures. One was in Hebrews, where he said, "Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever." Aren't you glad to know God doesn't change? He doesn't change in the person of Christ, the God-man. We're going to read some more in Philippians. And also Colossians 1:23, he said, Christ in you is your hope in glory. I said it earlier, he's the only one up there. And so let's turn to the book of Philippians. And Philippians is not the same as a place also in the Bible, Caesarea Philippi, but this is Philippians up at the northern part of Greece. And it was named after a guy named Philip II, just a little quick history. Philip, the king and general of Macedon, he founded this city in 358 BC. He was the dad of Alexander the Great. I didn't know that. But it became a very important place, not only for trade, but it became a place that the Romans would later take over and became a proud place for them to call home. But in that city, like so many in the days of Paul, there was a lot of idolatry going on, and he founded a church that became so near to his heart. He wrote this letter called the Book of Philippians, and it's called the Book of Joy. Sometimes people call it the Book of Joy because 6.5 times, if you count the word rejoice, he says, joy, rejoice, throughout this letter that, remember, was written while he was in chains, not the kind of chains in the Roman prison later in his life, but he was in house arrest. I think it was the Book of Joy because Paul was converting soldiers left and right. Every 4 hours they would switch guard and he'd convert another one of them. And they'd say, this guy, he's killing me. And he'd convert these to Christians. And so he wrote back to the church saying, you know, I love you, your unity. You supported me when I was sick. Again, I think of my church. You pray for me. You financially supported me. And he says, I have this joy. And he says, fulfill my joy that you would all be like-minded. And throughout this book, I really encourage today even that you get a minute to yourself. It doesn't take long. The book of Philippians is towards the back of the Bible. It's toward the last half of the New Testament. But it builds this book of Philippians. It starts with talking about how God has a good plan for you and that he's faithful to finish the work he's begun in you. How many know God has a great long-range purpose for your life? Oh, and everything that God sets out to do in your life has a long-range purpose. And I'll warn some that may not believe that anything you start off to do in your life that doesn't begin with God in mind or end with him could be the ruin of you. I'm talking from experience, trying to run off in my own understanding. And so in Philippi, he encourages them, and he goes to the second chapter of Philippians, and this is our key verse, and I'd like to just read it with you. In Philippians 2. I could read the whole thing, but I'm going to start with verse 5. Your attitude should be the same that was in Christ Jesus. Or in the King James and others, it's let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And you say, well, how can I even begin to let that happen? Well, it goes on in this beautiful kenosis poem, they call it. It's like a hymn, they believe, the early church would recite, which has in it the sevenfold humiliation of Christ, and then a sevenfold exaltation of Christ. And it's mirrored to a passage later that Paul writes of himself, the Pharisee of the Pharisees, and he kind of said how he was brought up in the mind of God, of men, and how God humbled him. Well, this is just the opposite. It says in verse 6, who, this is Jesus, being in the very nature of God, did not consider it equality with God, something to be grasped back after, but he made himself nothing. How humiliating is that for God, the God-man, to empty himself of all his rights that he has from creation, who created everything, to say, I'm going to step down to become, as it were, nothing, to make himself nothing, take on the very nature of a servant. There's another humiliation. Being made in the likeness of a human, another humiliation. Being found in the appearance of man, he's humbled, and he became obedient to death, even the death on a cross. That was the final humiliation. But then it says, and it's so glorious, God the Father exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven, on earth, and under earth even. And every tongue will confess, every tongue, that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Whoo! How many times does Paul just write off the page, it seems, and in Ephesians he prays in chapter 3, he's on his knees, that you would know the fullness of God himself, be filled. And again, I challenge us as Christians, we say, you know, it sounds good, Bill, and I guess if you give me 3 points in a poem, I'll go home and I'll try to make that work, but that's not what I want to give for you today. I want to talk about reality today, and in this book of Philippians, there's some real things. This word let, and I'm off my slides content. You can go to the next slide, brother man. It involves a choice, which is a decision of the will that God's gifted every man that, and woman that comes into this world with. He's given us free will, amen? You can resist, you can quench, you can grieve the Holy Spirit. You could say no. And God is a gentleman. He will not drag you kicking and screaming into his heaven. The Holy Spirit is always a gentleman. And I can't tell you how many times I've asked him to just change everything about me. He'd have to kill me to do that, to change it all. But he's a gentleman, and he takes one area at a time with what I call the gentle ice pick. Oh, got it. Yeah, need to change that. And what I'm going to get into here now is how we receive that, and that's with the strength and the wisdom that only God can provide. But it's through prayer. Pastor Frank preaches on this all the time. It's just communicating with God and asking him moment by moment, let this mind be in me that was also in Christ Jesus. Let's look at a couple other lets on the next screen. Let the peace of Christ. I love this let. Let the peace of Christ rule and reign in your hearts. There's another let. What do we have here? Let the peace of Christ. That's a great scripture. And be thankful in spiritual songs with thankfulness to God. Let's go to the next one. This is Colossians. Here's back in Philippians. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men because the Lord is near. How often do we forget that part? The Lord is near. He's soon to be coming back, by the way, and calling up his saints in glory in the rapture. But he's very near, so we should let the gentle spirit of Christ be known. And be anxious for nothing has been a life verse for me. I confess I fail at it often, but it's on my refrigerator. I don't know right now it is, but be not anxious. Don't worry for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And you may say to me, Billy, you don't know what kind of trouble I'm dealing with. It's easy for you to say. It's easy for God's word to just say, don't let it happen. But I have news for you. God has a long-range plan. And if you knew what was in the future, he gives us a benign ignorance, I think. And it's like a child who doesn't know where his next meal is coming from. But God is so gracious. Any one of us, if we knew the day and the time we were going to die, we'd do everything in our power to change it, wouldn't we? Drive ourselves crazy, but God knows. He knows who amongst us won't be here maybe next year. Sorry to sound negative, but it's a good thing that God doesn't allow us to know what's going to happen in the future. And I think it's an adventure for us to say, I trust you. I'm going to let myself not be anxious for anything. So God wants to begin in us today, even, I believe, a time of responding rightly. It really comes down to our choice of how you want to respond to things that happen in our life. And in Matthew 5, I won't go through all of the Beatitudes, but there's nine, really eight boiled down. They show us what kingdom living is about. Blessed are the poor in spirit. When you're spiritually bankrupt and you say, I don't have a clue, God, how I could even begin to approach you, he says, you're in good company. That's fine. You're on the path to coming to know me. Blessed are those who thirst. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the peacemakers. And these are all, I believe, pictures of Christ. I want to go back to Philippians, and a little bit later in the book, he says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right and pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, anything that's excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And I want to submit to you, I believe that's a picture of Christ again. I believe that's what we can have in us is the attitude that Christ has. And so, do we get it right every day? No, but it is a journey and it's an adventure. Let's go to the next slide, please. Philippians 2, I just read to us, was the sevenfold humiliation of Christ. You can go to the next slide. If we look at that, though, that humiliation, and we try to insert ourselves, are we always humble when bad things are happening to us? Do we trust God when we're going through a humiliating circumstance? It might be the very best thing that could happen to you. Do we believe that God is going to bring us out of that mire and exalt and get us to a place now where we're on solid ground? I believe he does. I believe we can look at that. And even though it's talking about our Lord, we can be encouraged. So there's an opportunity today with the few minutes that I have left today. I just want to let us be encouraged today. Is that we can be encouraged that there's an opportunity that God's asking us to join him and join in with him on. And how do we do it? Well, I mentioned prayer, and I also have this slide that comes up next. I mentioned how he wants to allow us to be pruned, which hurts. You know, some of you who do gardening, it's not always a pleasant thing to crop and cut down all of those things, and yet it comes back even fuller the next year, does it not? The rose bush. It's from the Beatitudes. It's surrendering our rights. And here's the picture I was looking for. Look at that Bubby. My wife loves golden labs, so you just want to kiss him on the nose. Well, and everyone's heard this phrase, let go and let God. And if you've ever had a pet, then you know. Why, they love to repeat the joy of running after the ball or that frisbee or this kind of toy here. They want to repeat that joy, but all of you know, until the dog gets trained a little bit, that guy just won't let go, will he? And so dogs sometimes cling to things like a toy, and they don't understand. I'm not trying to compare us to dogs. I'm really not. But sometimes we're like that. And we don't know what's good for us. We don't know that we're going to have more fun playing with the master if we just say, yeah, I trust you with this. And more often than not, he's going to give you back what you really desired even better. I'm going to share in a testimony here in a moment, if my wife's up to it. We'll see. Oh. She says, you can tell it. Yeah. But he will give you back even better than what you originally had thought you wanted. Do you know everything you need, you want, you could ever ask for, but are too afraid to ask for, is already in the Godhead? I remember Steve DeNeff saying this at Brown City, and it knocked my socks off. I had to go to the altar and say, everything I thought I knew about you, God, I don't. You just flipped my script. He said, within the mind of the Trinity, and the Trinity is a picture, I preached on this a few months ago, of the one giving to the needs of the other, none ever exalting himself above the other. They're three, but they're one. And the church is supposed to be, and marriage is supposed to be a picture of that. And yet, so many times, we don't act like we're interested in the needs of the other more than ourselves. And in the case of the dog, we hold on to that thing that we say, well, no, if I give this to you, maybe you'll hide it. Maybe I'll never get it back. Maybe you'll stop playing with me, and I'm bored. Maybe you'll turn me into something else than I really want to be. I'm kind of enjoying this moment. And what God's trying to say right now, I think, to all of us is let it go. Let that thing that is a huge burden on your heart right now, maybe it's that plan with your job, maybe it's with regards to a wayward child. You don't know what to do. Daniel said there's a God in heaven who answers the secret mysteries, who knows already what it is that needs to be done, and we need to just let it go. Let this mind be in us that was also in Christ Jesus. I think of Genesis 22, where Abraham had to have his vision put to death. His chosen son that was going to be the heir for all of the nations, for all of the believers eventually. And God put him to the test, did he not? Up on the mountain with a knife. And Abraham, it says, he rose early the next morning, and he even had his little boy, Isaac, carrying the bundle of sticks for an offering, and the boy didn't know where they were going to find the offering. But when they got there, he was tested. Do you trust me? Can you let him go? And the only difference from Genesis 22 to the cross now, we flash forward 2,000 years to Jesus, is that here is the Father with the sacrifice of his son on the cross, only this time he doesn't stay the hand. He actually does allow his son to die. It was a picture, a foreshadow. That's where I got it from, A.B. Simpson. Again, portraits of Christ in Genesis. And now God the Father didn't withhold. His wrath was all laid upon the Son for you, for me. He's our wrath bearer. How do we want to respond to that? Some of you today are Christians already and need this message of letting the mind of Christ be in you. That was also in him. Let that attitude be lived out in me. What I already have, Joe, you help me with this to understand. What I already possess, can you help me to just start to live that out spiritually? But some of you may not know Christ. You may not have made the first step on the journey. And that's between you and God. And I'm going to pray in a moment that if today is the day, and it's a beautiful day God has made, amen, today may be the day that you decide, I'm going to let go of this life. I'm not so afraid that you might turn it into something I can't recognize. But then again, if you choose to give it back to me only better, I want that. In the book of John, chapter 17, and I know I'm jumping around here a little. You can go to the next screen if you like. In the book of John 17, the high priestly prayer, Jesus saying, the way that you loved me, I want to love them. The mind that you've given for me, I want that to be in them. It all ties in beautifully with this message, I think, from Philippians. And some of us just have to learn the hard way. And as I mentioned, this has been ruminating in me for years. My dear wife Joyce and I will be married in the 21st, 4 years. 4 years, praise the Lord. And I thank God for her. She's drawn me closer to Him in so many ways she doesn't know. But she shared with me, do you want me to share the story? Is it okay? I have her permission. Intimate story of how she was at a place in her life down in Florida, I think, still. And she said, God, I don't know what you have planned for me. It doesn't look like I'm ever going to be married. I don't have any children. But I'm tired of trying to figure out and spin the ball the way I want it to go. I'm going to let you take my life, Lord. Now, it was not instantaneous, was it not? And it wasn't always pretty. And there were some hard times. But she'll never regret praying that prayer. Because, and it's not just about this guy up here, life got to become an adventure. He gave her back everything that she desired in her heart. I wish she were telling the story. That's okay. She didn't. But it's a beautiful thing, and there are others in this room that I'm sure I could take the mic and go around. For lack of time, though, I'm going to say this, that we all need to let the mind of Christ be in us. Let the peace of God rule and reign in our hearts. Oswald Chambers said, all Christians may have the Spirit of Christ, but not all Christians have the mind of Christ. Would you agree with that? And so this is an invitation that I'd like to give before we close in prayer. And that is, if you can say, yeah, Bill, I've been a Christian for longer than I know. How do I know? Well, some might say, well, the preacher told me. Oh, be careful with that one. Some may say, well, I know that I know in my heart of hearts. I had a burning in my bosom, and I just know. Or in John 1, chapter 5, where he says, that you may know, that you have a know-so faith. But it's a scary thing, and as I'm preaching today, I think I'd be irresponsible if I didn't make an invitation for some that may not be sure. You may say, I don't know. I don't sense that I've really ever desired the mind of Christ to be humble in a situation where I could fight back, to allow myself to be humiliated even at a time where I could stand up for my rights. And maybe there hasn't been a time you can point back to where you really believe that you've received Christ into your heart. You know, there's just a world apart, a difference between saying, well, I prayed this little prayer when I was a kid, and so I guess I've got my fire insurance, right, from going to hell. I've got news for you. I don't think that's the main reason that Jesus came to this earth. I believe he came to this earth that we would have his mind in us. And Paul goes on in Philippians to say, I count all of this stuff behind me as rubbish. Am I right, Joe? That I might gain, what? Incomprehensible riches of Christ. Yes. Everything that I thought was gain, I now count loss to gaining Christ. He's the reason I've come up here today to share with you. And he's the one who will do some beautiful things in your life and put you on an adventurous path that you never could have imagined for yourself. So I do want to just, with heads bowed, every eye in the place, just if we would, not looking around, but with our heads bowed, if there's anyone in here that would like to just pray and come into agreement with me and pray even in your own heart silently. Oh Lord, you know I've tried to go my own way. You know, Lord, I've made a mess of some things. You know, Lord, I believe the things, maybe I heard them when I was young once before, but I can't say that I'm really certain. I've never had assurance. I've never had that sense, Lord, that I'm really desiring you above all things. We sang about it today, Lord, but I don't know that yet today. So I'm hungering and I'm thirsting after you, after your righteousness. And I'm going to be like that dog in a way, with all due respect. I want to let go of my plans. And I want you to take the plans of my life, Lord. And I want you to do with it whatever you want, whatever brings you the most glory. Christ in us is the hope of our glory. And we want to give that to you right now, Lord. And if there's anyone here that's prayed that as a prayer and they want to know the Lord, I know Pastor Frank and I will be in prayer for you this week. But if you want to just raise your hand and put it back down, there's somebody that I could be in prayer for about that. Amen. I see the hands. Heavenly Father, we do pray that you would just seal that. The enemy is like those birds of the air that tries to take the seed away. and make them think, well, that didn't mean anything. That was just Billy up there. No, it's not. I believe God's Holy Spirit is the one speaking to you now. And I pray that God is going to add the increase, and He is going to be faithful to finish the good work that He's begun in you. Faithful. That makes you immortal. Nothing's going to happen to you till your work is done. And if there are Christians in the room that just say, Billy, this is a concept that's foreign to me. I've heard fix my eyes on Jesus. I've tried this self-help. I've read this Charles Stanley book. But letting Christ's mind be in me, I don't know that I've really begun to do that. And if there's any others that would, with their hand raised, they want us to be in prayer for, I'm raising my hand. Heavenly Father, You know we want this remnant of this church here. It's a body of believers, I'm convinced, love You with all their heart. They want the mind of Christ. We don't know what that might look like, but we trust You, Lord. We see a picture of it in Philippians. But Lord, make it a reality. Let it begin today. Let that mind be in us that was also in Christ Jesus. And we're going to be so quick to thank You, Lord, because it begins a great adventure that brings You all the glory, and that's what we want. Now we have closing music. Thank you for that cue. And I told you I was on a time schedule. No, I'm kidding. But I wanted to have them in the back to just play some music, that if anyone would like to come to the front altar, and I'll be up here for a few minutes, if you want to pray and you want to ask God to just kind of cement these things, these decisions you're making in your mind. If everyone, out of respect for those praying, wants to just go to the hallway, and we'll have some fellowship out there. Thank you all, and have a blessed day. Amen.